All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We're talking about spiritual gifts, and we want to understand these gifts and the writing of Scripture, and again, not from an academic point of view, but so that we can apply these in our lives and so that they can be active in our lives. Spiritual gifts are listed here in 1 Corinthians 12, and they're supernatural deposits and things that God does in our life that we need. And we are not going to make it just simply only using our mind. Thank God for our mind, and we need to use it to its full potential. But thank God for miracles, and thank God for the supernatural ability of God that works in our lives. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." The Message Bible says, "I want you to be informed and knowledgeable." And that's the purpose of these chapters and the purpose of why we're taking time to look at these. Look at verse 7 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." New Living Translation says, "So we can help each other." So spiritual gifts are not the purpose that God has for them. It's not so that we can walk in pride. It's not so that we can feel better than another group of people. It's so that we can be a greater blessing to other people. And how many of you know that's a godly prayer to pray, is to say, "God, make me a blessing. And Father, I desire spiritual gifts to be operational in my life so that I can be a greater blessing to the people and to be a greater help to those who are around me." And so we've been looking at these, the overall purpose, but now we're looking at the individual gifts. And today we want to look at prophecy. Prophecy. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it's listed there in the nine gifts. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, there is an entire chapter that deals with the utterance gifts. That is the gifts that speak forth something. That is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All right? 1 Corinthians 12, it says, as it lists those gifts, in verse 10, it says, "To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy." Okay? So prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a language that people can understand, in a known tongue, all right? So it is a supernatural utterance. These gifts, these three gifts, the utterance gifts, are speaking, in a sense, on behalf of God, all right? The revelational gifts were revealing something from God's mind that he knows, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, those, as we said, discerning of spirits. But this is, in a sense, being a voice for, speaking forth for God, all right? The Greek word here for prophecy, it's very interesting. It's to speak on behalf of another. To speak on behalf of another. How many of you have ever, you know, read the newspaper or watched the news, and someone is reading something, and their title is spokesperson. They're the spokesperson of a nation, of another person, of a country, all right, of an organization, all right. So they are speaking on behalf of someone else or another organization. And so the spokesperson does not add their own flavor or spices to the message, right? Sometimes it's a prepared speech, or even as they are asking questions, they are, if they get a question, they're not thinking, "Well, how do I think about this?" No, they're thinking, "All right, the person I'm representing, if they were here, what would they say?" Okay, that is the idea of what prophecy is and what that Greek word communicates, and that is to speak on behalf of another. Okay, sometimes we'll be, you know, maybe you're watching TV. We have this at church, deaf interpretation, where someone is taking a spoken word and they put it into hand motions and language so that people who can't hear with their ears, they can follow. All right? It's a whole nother language. All right? But the person who is doing that, you know, they're not doing that for them. I know where I've preached in different places in the world, sometimes you have an interpreter, you know, and it's kind of sometimes funny where you say, you know, I greet you in Jesus' name. And then the interpreter talks for about 5 minutes and has people laughing and shouting and everything. And I'm thinking, I don't think I said that. Okay, they've added to it. Okay, so prophecy is speaking forth on behalf of God. So God wants to say something. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to look at this passage, these five verses, but look at the one in verse 3. All right, it says, he who prophesies speaks. They speak. All right, so it is a vocal gift. Now, to prophesy does not mean that someone is a prophet. And we're going to see this later, okay? The office of the New Testament prophet, when we see it in Scripture, those people who were in the office of the prophet, they typically would have the revelational gifts operational in their life. That is, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, all right? There would be things in what they would say that would reveal things from God. Amen? All right, so the office of the prophet is different than to prophesy, okay? And what we're going to see here in the New Testament is Paul tells all believers, desire that this would happen in your life. Okay, now, we can't all desire to be a prophet, all right? That's up for the Lord. He would call some to do that, all right? But we are told to prophesy. Okay, now, let me do say this, that if God begins to use us in this way, and Paul says, seek that he would, it also does, there's no New Testament description of someone who is prophetic. Well, I'm going to a prophetic meeting, or, you know, they're flowing in the prophetic, all right? It's really a misuse of the language, all right? There's the office of a prophet. All right, and thank God for people that stand in that office, and we can benefit from that. But then there is the gift of prophesy, okay, of prophecy. And so we're going to see what that is and how God wants to use that in our life and in the body of Christ. All right, some of you may, as we talk about this today, you may realize, you know what, I think that has happened to me. I just didn't know what to call it, okay? As we begin to look at this. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. And here we have a wonderful and very clear and succinct definition of what prophecy is. Okay? He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Okay? So, if there is a prophecy, it would have to include these attributes, one or more, okay? And if you can't say, well, let's see, that didn't edify, it didn't exhort, and it didn't comfort, guess what? It wasn't prophecy, was it? Okay? This is a New Testament definition of what it does and what it accomplishes. Now, to edify, the Greek word, it's a wonderful word. It means to build up, okay? If you ever built a structure or a house, or if you were around when this building was going up, it means that brick upon brick, the walls get higher, the roof goes up, all right? It means something that didn't exist is getting higher and more complete, okay? So to edify, and that's something that God wants to happen in every Christian's life, is that we would be edified and built up. That's part of the purpose of the fivefold ministry, all right? But it's also purpose of prophecy, is that when that comes forth and God speaks, that people are built up. They're stronger than where they were before, all right? To exhort, all right? Exhort is not so much informational as it is, it encourages us. it strengthens us, okay? To exhort, it might not be new news, but it's something that's going to help us, all right? There may be an element of correction, or, you know, that this is the path, okay? To comfort, obviously, is to put someone at peace, all right? That when we feel comforted, our emotions are settled, okay? So these are the effects of prophecy, all right? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, it says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." All right? So the gifts edify, and specifically, prophecy does. Okay? Now, let's go and let's look at the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 14. And this is going to give us some good understanding and clarity when it comes to the, what we could say, the simple or the basic gift of prophecy. Okay? And what had happened, evidently, in the church at Corinth was that, so these were believers who had no Jewish background. They were idol worshipers, and now they're serving the living God, and there's real power available to them and when they would come to meet. And so they were kind of like, almost like a kid with a new toy. They didn't really know what to do with it. And the services tended to, it seems like they were fairly chaotic and confusing. And so Paul is giving them instruction by the Holy Spirit that when you come together, it should be to help one another. All right. And it shouldn't be confusing, but it should be that which is going to benefit those that are going to hear you. All right. And so he distinguishes between prophecy and tongues. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Okay, especially. Now, why is that? Well, we're going to see because of the great benefit that it has for other people. All right, not, please hear me, not so that people can say about you, "You're prophetic. Excellent. Awesome. Wow. You are so spiritual." No, that is not the motive. Okay? And that's why right in the middle of a discussion of spiritual gifts, Paul talked about love. And that if we have all these gifts in operation and it's not birthed and motivated by love, it just calls attention to ourselves like a gong, like a clashing cymbal. All right. It doesn't help. It doesn't benefit. It's not, love is not self-seeking. All right. So pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." Or the Greek phrase, divine secrets. And there are so many wonderful benefits to speaking in other tongues. One of them is we speak to God and he understands. And there are these divine secrets that we wouldn't know from our mind, but they come from our spirit in this language that God would give. Okay. Verse 3. So Paul is making a point here that when you speak in tongues, and Paul in this chapter, and we'll look this more specifically next week, Paul's a big fan of speaking in tongues. All right. So is the Holy Spirit who wrote this. He said, "I would that you all speak in tongues." He said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." And that was a pretty big claim for Paul to say that to the church at Corinth. Okay, so he's not knocking this. He's saying that speaking in tongues has a personal benefit to the one who is praying. Verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification." Okay, so you see how Paul kind of says the same thing from about four different angles, right? So why is it important that we would say, Father, I desire, and if your word says for me to desire, I desire that I would prophesy and that you would use me in such a way. Why? Because you help other people. You help them in huge ways. You help comfort them. You help edify them. You help strengthen them. Can you see this? All right. So our motive is to be of help and assistance. Kind of think about it this way. So if you're praying, maybe we prayed over the offering. God, give me $10,000. God, please give me $10,000. Okay. Does God give? Yes. Is God interested in money? Yes. But let's take a few steps back. Why were you asking for the $10,000? Oh, God, I just want to get a newer car, and I just want to show my ex-husband that I'm successful, and all those ladies at the office that tease me all the time. Whoa, that kind of sounds selfish. Father, I thank you for $10,000 because, Lord, I just want to be a blessing to my family. And, Lord, there are people in my family that are struggling right now, and there are kids that are out of school, and, Father, I want to be the one to provide for their school fees. See, same $10,000, different reason. Okay, so desire that you prophesy, desire that you would have speech that would be inspired by the Holy Spirit that would bring exhortation, edification, and comfort to people. Okay, so the gift of prophecy, okay, and again, because we've already covered this, it is not predictions. All right. It's not necessarily about the future. It is simply speaking forth for God. That is that God puts something in your heart and you speak it forth for him. Okay. And it helps other people. Okay. In the Old Testament. Okay. And this is where I think we need to have a good understanding. In the Old Testament, because the Holy Spirit had not been given to all. All right. And Joel said in our days, the Holy Spirit will be given to all flesh, all right? Your sons and your daughters, your handmaidens, your men servants, they will prophesy. Okay, so regular people, just like you and me, okay? And the Holy Spirit has been given, but in the Old Testament, he had not yet been given to the whole people of God. And so God had spokespersons called prophets. All right. And so they would hear from God, they would see from God, and then they would give that message to the people of God, many times who were not listening to God and they weren't seeking him on their own. And so God used this other channel. But thank God in our day and age, we have the Holy Spirit living and residing on the inside of us. Amen. We all have a SIM card. All right, we've got 5 bars, and so God can communicate to us. We are on the network, okay, in the New Testament. So while there is still an office of the New Testament prophet, it varies greatly from that of the Old Testament, okay, because of the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given, okay? So we are not so much predicting or foretelling, but forth-telling, okay? We are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 says that, okay? So, sometimes, you know, especially for me, when we're having a time of prayer, sometimes as staff, sometimes the different prayer meetings that happen at church, if I'm a part of, or we're getting together to pray, many times the Lord will just lead me at the time of prayer. We might be praying for the nation. We might be praying for the church, for different situations. I'll just pause and I'll say, hey, does somebody have something that the Lord showed you or spoke to you? All right. Sometimes in different times where I know we were having a meeting where one of our missionaries that was leaving, we had some groups of people and we're praying. And I said, hey, Pastor Wim, I think you've got something to say here. And I said, hey, I think there's somebody else. Just come and let's. And what was that? They were prophecies. Okay? And they brought edification, all right? Exhortation and comfort. Okay? It wasn't necessarily, you know, in 1 year and 42 days and 32 minutes that, you know, you'll be here or there. Okay, it doesn't have to be predicting. It's just saying something that God put in your heart to say. Do you follow me? Okay. And this is what we're instructed to do. What is God saying? Okay, listen to what he is saying. And so we want to have we want to use this gift properly and well and get the benefit out of it, but at the same time realize that in our new covenant, there is only one mediator between God and man, and it is not the major prophet or the prophetess or the pastor or the apostle, or now we have archapostles. It's not a person. The Hebrews said it is the man, Christ Jesus. Okay, so he is the mediator. He is the go-between. And so in the New Testament, we have something what's referred to as the priesthood of the believer. Okay, that we offer sacrifices to him that are worthy and acceptable. Amen? But at the same time, we want to receive the benefit from the body of Christ when God may be speaking to someone for us. And there's something that's going to come through another person that's going to bless and help our life. Okay, so this is available. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 again, and towards the end of the chapter. It says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Notice this again, this desire is exhorting us. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, so not all of the gifts are we told specifically to desire, but we are told to desire prophecy specifically. All right. What does that mean? Desire. Okay. Talk to the Lord and say, God, I want to be available for you to speak through my life to other people. Okay. Now, again, it is still up to the Holy Spirit to give the unction. It is up to the Holy Spirit to distribute as he wills, okay? Not as we will, but as he wills, all right? Now, many times I'll have a situation like this where on a Sunday, the sermon will be going on or whatever, and I'll see some people in the lobby or later or whatever, and I've had this on numerous occasions where somebody will say, Pastor, who told you? I said, who told me what? Who told you what I was going through? I said, nobody. I don't really know what you're going through. No. Somebody told you, because there in the sermon, when you started, that what you were speaking to me. Okay, what is that? That is speaking forth for God. Okay, and the way God uses me as with a teaching gift is I've got notes, okay? And I got scriptures, and I'm sorry to say, sometimes the jokes, they're even in here, okay? Some of them are pre-planned, okay? And I just find that's how God works, all right? But there are times where, even as I'm preparing a sermon, all right, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading, I'll in a sense, almost be arrested or stopped, and the Lord will say, hey, you need to say A, B, and C. Now, what is that? That is the simple gift of prophecy in advance, right? There are many, many times where because, you know, we have two services at church where in the second service, I'll just kind of get arrested by God and I'll just begin to kind of share some things. OK, what is that? It's prophecy. OK, now, typically, I don't feel the need. And this is what my encouragement to you would be, is prophecy doesn't have to be in King James English. For the Lord would saith unto thee, my little child, ye, yea. Okay? It doesn't have to be in King James English. It doesn't have to be weird, okay? Where you now kind of, the whites of your eyes come up and you look into heaven, your body gets contorted, okay? Doesn't have to be weird, okay? You don't have to start shaking your right hand. Or your left hand, or both hands, okay? So it doesn't have to be strange, okay? We see many times in the Gospels where Jesus was speaking forth, and many times it was conversation that he was having with people, okay? Now, there might be times where you feel impressed to tell people, hey, listen, I just feel impressed to say this to you from the Lord, all right? I was praying for you, and I just felt like you needed to hear this. Okay, so I think that is appropriate, okay, to say. I know there are times with people sometimes where, because I'm a pastor, sometimes I actually tell, I have a prophecy disclaimer, all right? And I'll tell them, I said, look, this is simple advice. This is just me thinking, all right? This is not thus saith the Lord. All right, so please don't take this as from the Lord. This is from Walker, all right? And Paul did that later to the church at Corinth, right? Where he was talking about marriage and being single. And he said this. He said, now I'm speaking to you not by command. This is Paul. I would that all men stay like me and be single. All right. If Paul was around today, I would say, I object to that, Paul. You want me to be single like you? What, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Being married is the most wonderful thing on planet Earth. And God bless you, Paul. I respect you as an apostle, but I disagree with your opinion. He was just given his opinion. And his opinion was based on the fact that there was lots of persecution. And it was going to be really tough for you and it was going to be really complicated. He said, but hey, if you want to get married, you haven't sinned. It's not wrong. But this is just Paul giving advice. Right. But then he switched gears and he came back and he says, now I'm speaking by command. Now I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, there are times where in a message or in preaching where in a sense it will in a sense shift gears. Now, not all preaching and teaching is prophecy, nor should it be. All right, the gospel, the Bible says, is preached to the world. How shall they hear unless they have a preacher, not a prophesier? All right, so teaching and preaching is very appropriate. And it is the right thing in many instances, okay? But there are times where if you are used in public speaking in some way or another, or simply in conversations, okay? That I know many, many times where my wife and I, in raising our kids, all right, we will be very impressed to go talk to our kids about something, okay? And yeah, we don't walk in the room. And they might say, Dad, are you sick? Do you need to sit down? No, just you just start talking, all right? But you speak forth for God. Why? Because he gave you something to say, all right? He gave you something to say. I know being around Pastor Newberry in privately, God used him in this way a lot. I remember one time we were at his house one time when we were just passing through Lusaka doing a pastor's conference, and we were just chatting and we were just talking about the things of God and things like that. He was there with one of our colleagues, Kent Meeks, and they were talking. I could tell that conversation was getting more intense. It was getting more like preachy. And I remember Pastor Newberry stood up and he said, now I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. And began to share forth from God. All right, it was at a dinner table. Okay, it was just we were just having a talk. Okay, and so God can and will use you in such a way. Let's see an example in the book of Acts of, again, what we could say kind of regular people that God used in such a way. Look at Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. So Paul is traveling with Luke, who was used by God to write the book of Acts, and that's why we hear the word we. Luke is referring to we, Paul and the people on our team. Acts 21 and verse 8. Now on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist. Okay, so Philip has a wonderful history in the book of Acts. Philip was a cool guy. All right, so he was one of the seven in Acts chapter 5 when the apostles got overloaded and the widows were being neglected, and they said, let's pick seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And Philip was one of those seven men. In Acts chapter 8, he went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. All right, and there were signs and wonders, okay, and there were miracles, and there was, and the Bible says there was great joy in that city. Then the apostles from Jerusalem, hearing what had happened, they went and they communicated to them about the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 8. Okay, so here we see him referred to as an evangelist. Okay, so now God began to use him in such a way and then put him in that office. They entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, again back from Acts chapter 5, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Four virgin daughters who prophesied. Now, why would Paul and Luke know that they prophesied? Okay? Probably not because Philip said, hey guys, my daughters, they prophesy. Okay? But because it seems like there would have been, there needed to be some firsthand knowledge. All right? So it doesn't say that Philip's four daughters had prophetic meetings. All right? Or that their names were in light, or that they traveled the world as prophetesses. Okay? In the home, all right, and perhaps as they shared or as they prayed, they recognized, wow, all four of these daughters, God uses them to bring inspired utterance that edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Do you see this? All right. And so, now I do find it interesting. It says they mentioned that they're virgins and they prophesy. Okay. If you want God to use you, then you need to offer your body as a vessel he can use. 2 Timothy talks about that in a great house, there are vessels that some are made out of wood and stone, and some are made of gold and silver. All right. And it says, if you will purify yourself, you will be used, all right, as a vessel of honor, a vessel that God can use, the Message Bible puts, for anything and everything that he wants to use you for. All right. I really believe, and we have too many examples of this, that the way we conduct our life limits the way that God can use us. Okay? Jesus was born of a virgin because it was prophesied that he would be. All right? Mary made choices in life that caused her to be a virgin. Okay. It is possible that had Mary made other choices, we would be talking about the virgin Sarah, mother of Jesus. Okay? Because of the choices that she would have made that would have disqualified her from God's use. Okay? So as we talk about spiritual gifts, I want, and I'll put my name at the top of the list. All right? Lord, purify my life. Lord, help me to make right decisions. Let me lead out of love. Father, use my life so that we can be a vessel and whatever gifts and as he wants to distribute, that he doesn't have to pass over our life to say, you know, we look for seven men full of the Holy Ghost and you're about 10% full of the Holy Ghost. So I can't use you right now. Amen. Let's dedicate our life to say, God, I want to be used by you. However you see fit, however you purpose, but I want to be available to you. Amen? Let's do that. All right, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and here we see another reference to prophesying, or prophecy and to prophesying. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. The NIV, verse 20, it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. With contempt. Now, what would lead Paul to write that? Okay, why would Paul need to tell a church, hey, when a prophecy comes forth, don't despise it. Don't think of it with contempt. All right, it's because it was being abused. It was being misused. All right, something that's not used correctly then can be misunderstood. So the instruction to us then is, let's use this in a godly way, in a way of love, all right, and let's keep it within the bounds of what God said it is, okay, that it is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, okay? Now, again, as God wants to use you in this way, please don't feel like you have to recreate a Nigerian movie, okay, when you prophesy, you know? It's a movie. Yeah, some movie. They're cute. They're funny, you know. But just be you. All right? One of the most liberating things of all of life is that God wants to use you as you. Okay? You don't have to imitate someone else's personality or their mannerisms or their voice. Okay? I know sometimes I've turned on Christian TV. And I turn it on and go, oh, sad. That's a very bad Creflo Dollar imitation. All right? And you realize, oh, this guy is just, it's almost nauseating to hear. Be you. Now, be more like Jesus. All right? We are molded and shaped by him. But let God use your personality. Be comfortable with the skin that God gave you. All right? Because you're wonderful. You're awesome. All right. So when we don't want to be used in a way that would cause people to despise prophecies. Okay. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:29, because this is very important. And this is an instruction that we need to heed. 1 Corinthians 14:29. It says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Judge what? Judge what they said. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:29, same verse from the New Living Translation. It says, let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. Let others judge and evaluate what is said. There's a kind of a mindset or a culture that's disturbing. And that is if someone, and maybe they really are a prophet or a prophetess, okay, major or minor, okay? And maybe God really does use them. But they say something that's out of bounds, okay? It's out of line with the Word of God. And you mention it, people think, oh, they're waiting for the lightning bolt to hit you. Don't say about the prophet. Well, no. I will do exactly what the Bible says. I will evaluate what they say. I will evaluate. Now, wait a second. Who's to evaluate? Believers. You are supposed to know the Word of God. You remember the Bereans when Paul preached to them? They really liked what Paul had to say, but they took notes and they went home and they did an audit. And they try to distinguish what Paul said. Is he preaching the Bible? Is he preaching the Bible? Folks, we need to get smarter. We need to be wise. And folks, this is not just a commercial, but this is why we have all these School for Life classes. All right? We don't want you to be ignorant. If a Jehovah's Witness came to your door, do you know what to talk to them about the Trinity and the virgin birth? Or do you just pick up one of those nice glossy magazines? Oh, that's nice. You wouldn't know a cult if it hit you in the face. Okay? I got a sad report. Somebody, Christian believer, decided to be a Mormon. All right? They don't believe in the blood of Jesus. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in salvation through his name and only his name. Why? Because they're ignorant. They're grade one Christians. Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, you ought to be teaching this by now. But since you're not, I'll go back to milk and we'll go back over the basic principles of Christ. All right? But we are to progress to the point that we believe it deeply and we are able to articulate it to other people. Amen? All right. So, but sometimes when it comes to prophecies and prophesying, somebody will say, well, who made you the judge? 1 Corinthians 14 made me the judge. That's who. The Holy Spirit made me the judge. Now, I don't need to speak ugly of them. I don't need to be insulting. Amen? We can still be Christian and cordial and nice. All right? But if something comes out that is that comes out, we can judge it. I know people got mad at me last year when I said I don't believe in that from the New Testament that, you know, that the gifts of the Spirit are used to predict soccer scores, football matches. Because it's not in the Bible. It's not in the realm of building the kingdom of God. Unless you've got a bet with a London bookie and you've already pledged that money to the building fund. All right? Okay. That was a joke. Sorry. That was a joke. Okay. All right. No, because it's out of bounds. It's out of line. Oh, Pastor, touch not my prophets. I didn't touch the prophet. I am judging what he said. And you need to judge what he said or she said. And if it's on TV, turn the channel. Turn the channel. If it's out of bounds, if it's out of line, you need to know the Word of God. So really, the first place where we judge prophecy is based on the Word of God. That is the first place that we judge prophecy. Okay? Is you got to know what the Word of God says. I don't know if you saw in the news, I guess a week ago, I've got some friends that are from that area in the United States, in Colorado. There were all kind of floods, damage, very sad. A few people evidently died as well. Well, somebody came forth and said, the reason why it flooded in Colorado is because they legalized marijuana and pot smoking. And God's upset, and so he flooded Colorado. Well, that's completely unscriptural and unbiblical. And you don't have to, you can have a third grade Bible education to realize that that's not biblical. And plus, if God was judging pot smokers, then Jamaica would be at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, right? Unfortunately, anyway. Huh? Rastafarians are not getting struck by lightning. Okay. Now, I don't believe in pot smoking. It's not right. It doesn't please God. It doesn't help your body. Okay. But God's not going to strike down a bunch of innocent people and destroy Christians' homes because the place where you live legalized pot smoking. Okay. So that's a real simple one. But so this person said, God showed me. No, he didn't. That's just you. You're mad and you expect God to be as mad as you are. Okay? So we judge these things. Also, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Okay? And many times the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you if it's from the Lord. There'll be like, I don't know how to describe it, like an excitement or a witness that, yes, that's from the Lord. Okay? And you need to have some spiritual sense when it comes to these things. When the day before my wife and I in 1994, when we moved to Johannesburg, that night before we left, we went to a Christian meeting. There was a lady speaking, had a good message, didn't know us, called us out of from the crowd and said, God is sending you to the nations. That's cool. Yeah, he is. And he said, he's going to send you to Russia and then to Paris and then to Africa. Well, the problem is my ticket said Johannesburg. All right. Well, what did you do? I got on the plane to Johannesburg. Well, what happened? She missed it. All right. It was pretty obvious that she was hearing something from the Lord, right? To just call us out of a crowd and say, God's sending the nation. She certainly got the Africa part right. So good job. All right. But I've got to judge it by the Holy Spirit. And God had never spoken to me about Russia or Paris, and he still hasn't. I'm open. That's fine, you know. But you've got to judge these things yourself. Amen. Amen. All right. And have confidence in the Lord and have confidence in the scriptures. Okay. And desire to be strong. All right. I'm concerned with immature Christians that and evidently in our city, you know, there are people, especially when you get a little bit of money, they have like personal prophets that just kind of follow them around. And they're there at beck and call. Hey, come on over. Let's have, come, prophet. And then they prophesy over them and give them some money to do so. Okay? That's immature. You need to know God for yourself. All right? And be able to hear from God and know God. And if God wants to speak through other people, judge it. Judge it, because we're told to. We're told to. Judge it by the Word and judge it by the Holy Ghost. And again, this is my personal thing. Is I've been in certain situations where I've been in some funny, flaky, weird meetings. And again, you don't have to get upset and you don't have to stomp out and everything, but just kind of smile and don't accept it and don't receive it. And please don't go back to the next meeting. If it's Monday through Friday and it happened on Monday, then go find something else to do on Tuesday. Amen. If it's off and it's weird, it's goofy. All right. Now, some place that we all can start in speaking forth for God is in the area of our prayer life. Okay? Because when we pray, okay, we are praying to God. And many, many times we pray because we have a need. We know something. All right? But there are times like when Paul prayed for different churches in the epistles, he would pray a Spirit-inspired prayer. And I would encourage you in prayer to, yes, use your mind, all right? But let the Holy Spirit infuse your prayer life with things that are inspired from above, things that are inspired from His heart, things that you wouldn't know to pray for if He didn't quicken you to pray. Where there's maybe he puts someone on your heart, and as you pray for them, scriptures start coming to you. There's a certain direction that comes, okay? And in a sense, our prayer life can be a wonderful place where we learn to speak forth, where we learn to speak forth from the Spirit. Because in a sense, there's nobody around. There's if you miss it, you're not going to be hurting anyone else. Okay, but you can begin to locate your own human spirit and God speaking to you and speaking forth from Him, amen. So I want to encourage you to take more time in your prayer life. Okay, if we are to desire these gifts, and especially that we would desire to prophesy, okay, let's take the time to prepare our heart and to be sensitive to the Lord. Amen. And He'll use us. And I just believe that in our families, in our businesses, in our own personal relationships and connection groups, all right, that there'll be more of the Spirit saying, speaking forth for God. Amen. How many of you would like to know what God's thinking? And if He's saying something, I want to be in on what He is saying. And both to receive, but also to be used by Him. Amen. So let's pray right now. And what I encourage is let's really take up the Lord on His instruction today. And let's just pray this together. Why don't you just pray this with me? Say, Father, thank You for Your Word, for its instruction and its application in my life. You said that I was to desire to prophesy. That may or may not have happened in my life. But from today, I desire that. I desire for you to use me to bring exhortation, edification, and comfort to other people. I want to be a blessing, Father. I want to speak forth for you to help those around me. Help me to be sensitive and aware when you're speaking. Help me to hold my tongue when I need to be quiet. But help me to be bold to speak forth for you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and talk to him right now. And just present your heart to him. The Bible says we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, God spoke to us in the book of James. And he said that there should not be blessing and cursing coming from the same well. And if you want God to use you to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort, you need to close down another pipe. The pipe of ungodly talk, of slander, of gossip, ungodly communication. James went on to say, he said that if any man tames his tongue, that's a mature man. That's a perfect man. It's a godly man. And I want us to be more godly in this area. And so, Father, we yield our mouths to you, Father, and only to you. May our mouths never be used to cut or to injure, to defame, to lie. May it never be used to build us up in pride and ego. May our tongue be, as you said in your word, like the pen of a ready writer. May you use our mouth and speak. May you speak forth from and through our mouths and our lives. Father, we yield to you. Father, I thank you today. We can take a step of maturity today in you and with you. Thank you, Father. With every head bowed and eye closed, the Bible says that there's something else that we do with our mouth, and that is that we believe in our heart and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and we are saved. If you've never made a public profession of faith in Jesus, you can. The Bible is clear that we're not saved by someone else's prayer. We're not saved through infant baptism. We're not saved by going to a class or going to church. We're saved by personal faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never done that, the good news is you can. God has made everything available for you. He sent his own son Jesus to die in your place, to receive your punishment, to accept all of the penalty of your sin. And right now you can put your trust in him. If you're a Bible believer, you're a Christian, but you realize I've made a wrong turn in life. And like the prodigal son, you left your father's house. And there's been destruction. There's been sin. And you realize, you know, my life is in a bad state. And I need to come home. The good news is you can. God is waiting for you. He'll accept you. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you. And you can be a part of his family. You can live in his house. Don't live far from him. Don't live with a hard heart. He loves you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make a public profession of my faith. I've not done that. I need to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or I need to come home from a place of sin and rebellion. I need to give Jesus my heart. If that's you, wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. Say, that's me. I want Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him. He's going to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. Anybody at all, we want to pray with you. You're important to God. Thank you, Lord. He loves you. All right. We don't want to miss anyone, but if we're all family today, then we thank God for that. Can we stand to our feet?